We're back
after a long hiatus. Apologies.
Yes, very much apologies. Life's just been nutso. I've been studying a lot. We had a friend staying here, so we learned how to do some audio tricks from him.
Right.
Which is good.
Which would be good. I had the flu, so I was down for days.
Yeah, you were down and out. By the way, I'm Daphne.
Oh, I'm Gail. Hi.
Yeah, mom's the one who had the flu. I'm the one who's been studying. Just so we're clear here.
Right. And we're That's Disturbing. Did we say that?
No, we didn't. And we're That's Disturbing because we're disturbed.
Yes, we are.
I feel like that's our new thing because we're disturbed. Well, it's not a new thing, but it's a new thing that we actually say out loud, not just in our heads.
Right. And the words materialize in audible form.
Yes, yes. There you go.
Wow, that was hard.
That was a lot of words. I'm not even sure I understood what you said, but yes.
All right.
Okay, mom, what should everybody go do?
Instagram. Go on our Instagram.
What should they do on our Instagram when they get there?
You should follow us on our Instagram.
What's our handle?
I don't know.
Mom.
That's Disturbing Podcast. Oh, at That's Disturbing Podcast.
Everybody, I would like you to give my mom a round of applause because that took us a while to get there. My mom is not old, but my mom is not a social media user. So she doesn't know how to use social media. And so she's still learning. So when I'm like, Mom, it's your episode. It's your turn to post. She's like, what do I do? So it's been a work in progress, but we're getting her there. She's doing good.
Yeah, I even have posted a couple.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I make you do them when it's your turn.
Right. Yeah, I'm just not a social media person because it's, I don't know. I think it's a good outlet for stuff like this and for keeping in contact with your family and like friends and stuff that are not close to you. But when people post about what they ate for breakfast and what their poop looks like and that they went and worked out at the gym, like, I don't care. So that's why I stopped getting on social media. And then I got very behind because, you know.
Everything has changed.
Because everything changes all the time. And again, like I said, I keep in touch with family sometimes on there. But
we're in the digital age.
Right. But I don't give a fuck what you had for lunch. Or if you have corn in your poop, or
that's nice,
or any of those things that people post about.
Yeah, I don't care either, by the way. Just putting that out there. I don't care.
Right.
Everybody. So our website is That's Disturbing Podcast.com.
That's disturbingpodcast.com.
We're looking at each other like, are you gonna say it? Am I gonna say it?
So we said it together.
So we did. We absolutely did. We said it together.
And you know what's weird is I don't say podcast. I say podcast.
Podcast?
I don't know what. Well, no, not potty, but like it comes out like podcast. I have a podcast.
I have a podcast.
I don't know why. What happens? It's weird.
I don't know. I feel like I boost our podcast all the time. I feel like I talk about it a lot. I'm like, oh, hair flip. I have a podcast. We have 63 subscribers. Hey, we're getting somewhere. This is only what? This is less than 20. I don't know. I stopped keeping
this
track.
This is episode 17.
I stopped keeping track when I wasn't allowed to say what episode it was anymore. So now we're just doing the damn thing. We're just chugging along, enjoying ourselves, having fun.
We are.
Yes.
And it is a lot of fun. We like it.
Yeah, we just look at each other and laugh.
Yeah, no kidding.
I mean, sensitive material, but we laugh.
Yes,
unfortunately.
We do. Oh, how about our Gmail? That's disturbingpodcast@gmail.com. And on there, you can see a picture of us outside the Stanley Hotel. You can send us a case request.
That is our website.
But you could type a case request in our email.
Yeah, you could do so. We would love to get some.
Yeah.
Like I said in the last episode, I feel a little bit stumped because there's a lot I want to do, but I want to know what people want to hear.
Right.
So, and we're still working.
We've had three case requests, or not case requests, but we had the one that I did last week was requested, but not.
We have the one coming up that you're working on.
Yes. And then the one that your dad wants. So we officially have three.
We do officially have three. Thanks, Dad. Thanks, you know who's.
All right.
What's your disturbing fact for me today, Mom?
Okay, my disturbing fact is about an inventor named Franz Reichelt. He was, so he was born in Austria in the 1800s. He moved to France and he was really interested in so it's the early 1900s, right? He moves to France. It's like 1910, that era when planes are starting to be up and coming, right? So air travel. Well,
right, like the Wright brothers.
Exactly, right. So he's really fascinated by airplanes and air travel. And he's hearing about crashes and people getting hurt and stuff. And so he wants to help. He wants to help because he's a tailor and he wants to help build a parachute that's light enough for pilots to wear and comfortably to wear and yada, yada, blah, blah, blah. He makes these different parachutes and he's putting the parachutes on dummies and throwing them out the window, and none of them work, right? They're all like...
Thank God he didn't put them on people to test it out.
Well, so...
that's apparently why this is a disturbing fact. It is a
disturbing fact. So he decides that the reason that the parachutes aren't working is because they're not going from a high enough distance. So he decides that he's going to go to the top of the Eiffel Tower, 200 feet in the air, and that he was just going to have a dummy do it or do it with a dummy. But then he was like so confident that it was going to be fine, that it was going to work. And so he decided that he was going to do it himself. And he jumped off the Eiffel Tower and it didn't work.
Did he get flattened like a pancake?
Yeah. He didn't die instantly, which sucks. But the media was there. His friends were there.
It's a pretty embarrassing way to go out with just such a strong sensation that you're right and that you've done it and you tested on yourself.
Well, plus he wanted to help people. And so, but it's disturbing. What's disturbing about it is that he was, he jumped 200 feet to his death, not planning to. And when he hit the ground, they said that his arms were mangled, his legs were mangled. He had blood coming out of his nose, mouth, and ears.
Gross.
And he left a 6-inch imprint in the frozen ground below him.
Ooh.
Yeah.
So my thought is maybe why it wasn't working on the dummies is because they had to pull a string.
No, because it was like a bat suit almost. So it all tucked in, but then you opened your arms and it kind of expanded. Dummies
can't do that.
No, but I don't know. He probably put it on the dummies and opened their arms up and had the things open.
That's fair.
That's fair.
But that really sucks.
Yeah, that really does suck. And that happened on February 4th in 1912. So thanks for trying to help, Franz. But unfortunately for you,
it
didn't really work out.
Thank you for your contribution.
Yeah.
You did nothing.
That's mean. Yeah.
Thanks for giving somebody else the idea to do it right.
A very disturbing fact. And, you can look and find pictures of him and his parachute contraption. And unfortunately, there are also pictures of him dead on the ground that you can find. So
that sucks.
It's really sad. Yeah, because like I said, he called his family, friends, the media. He's like, hey, guys, everybody come and watch.
Everybody gather around.
Yeah. So I don't know. I find that disturbing.
That is disturbing.
Yeah.
Very, very, very. That gives me another idea for a disturbing fact for the next one we record.
So inventors that are killed by their own inventions.
A new series here. That's disturbing.
Yeah. Yes.
Disturbing.
So, yeah. What do you got for us today, Daph?
I have the unsolved case.
What do you have for us? That was so bad of English. And so
it was horrible English.
Daphne, what case are you presenting us with today?
I am presenting us, you all, my audience, my mother, with the Honolulu Strangler.
Ooh.
It's an unsolved case. I was in Hawaii in January, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I was at this park. It's called the Queen Kapi'olani Park. It's in Waikiki.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't
know. Sounds warm.
It was so warm. And then we're here.
Yeah.
And it like snowed for like a solid 30 minutes today, like spitting heavy snow. Mm-hmm. And then the sun was shining again. I was like, make up your mind.
Right.
Like, just, I don't care what you decide to do, but just do it. Like, give us snow, give us sunshine. I don't really care. It's the middle of winter. I kind of expect whatever. But just make up your mind. Okay, sorry. Off tangent. Okay. I'm getting back to, like, why I decided to do this. So I was in Hawaii, right? Mm-hmm. Queen Kapi'olani Park. Walking around with my boyfriend. His uncle's friend lives out there, so we met up with him. And we're walking around through this park, and he's like, oh, this park is full of ghost stories. So that might be to come, because then I was, like, got inspired. I'm like, ooh, I've never heard of a case from Hawaii before. Hmm. I've never heard of any cases from Hawaii. Mm-hmm. Anybody talk about any either. So I was like, what can I do? What is from Hawaii? I was just feeling inspired.
Right.
So
what did you bring us from the islands, Daphne?
Today I brought you the Honolulu Strangler.
I like it. Except for that it's unsolved. I hate those.
Yeah.
Because I need closure.
This one's twisted as fuck.
Oh, sweet.
We're so grim. All right. So our first victim, this happened in the 80s, by the way, in Oahu.
Okay.
Obviously, Honolulu Strangler, but in Oahu. Oahu's the island.
Right.
Honolulu's okay. The major city.
Mm-hmm.
So we have our first victim. Her name was Vicky Purdy. She was 25 years old, and her friends and family described her as a feisty woman who she could definitely take care of herself, and she was originally from North Carolina. While she had been in a foster home as a child, and her marriage was initially, like, kind of shaky.
Poor thing.
Things were just looking up for her at some point. She was a cheerleader when she was younger. She played softball. She roller skated. And she had a lot of people that, you know, she was a beautiful young woman. So a lot of people were like, hey, you know, tried to get at her.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. She was very beautiful. Very, very beautiful is what a lot of people had to say about her. So when she moved to Hawaii, she wasn't, like, settled in quite well. She said that it was like her dream to move there is what her husband had said. But when she got there, she made friends, but it was island time.
Right.
In which everybody has a hard time, I feel like, adjusting to island time. Even I have a hard time adjusting to island time whenever I go on vacation anywhere that's tropical. It's like, it's always island time.
Right.
And what that means for anybody who doesn't know about island time is it's just like, you'll be sitting at a restaurant. And you may or may not get your order taken,
like, promptly.
Yeah, promptly. Like, you're not going to get, like, fast service.
Right. There's no rush. There's no urgency. And when you're used to the hustle and bustle, and then you go somewhere where everybody's all chill or whatever, then that's island time.
That is island time. Yeah. Kind of wacky like that. But, yeah. I mean, it's fine. It's a good time.
Yeah.
I love being on islands, so it's fine for me.
Well, and that's the whole point, is to relax and chill out and not be all, like, irritated because they didn't take your order in 8 seconds. Anyway.
Yes. Okay. So her husband, his name was Gary Purdy. He was an Army helicopter pilot and chief warrant officer with the 24th Aviation Battalion.
Battalion?
Battalion. I don't know.
Battalion.
Battalion. This is why people listen to us. We're funny. Daphne doesn't know how to say anything. Gail can't English. Daphne just can't speak.
But yet here we are.
Yeah, right. We're giving this another go. So they had been married for 5 years at this point. They had lived in Hawaii for 16 months. And she had worked at a video store on the island, which it also handled pornographic material. So a little bit of an adult store in the mix as well, but like a video store. Like, I'm thinking like a Blockbuster maybe mix with an adult section.
Blockbuster with some Buster.
Yeah. No blocks, just Buster.
Right.
So on May 29th, 1984, she left her house at about 9 a.m. This is where it kind of gets confusing. I heard some sources said it was for a night out with her friends.
But it's 9 a.m.
Yeah, that's when her husband last saw her.
Okay.
So she left either to meet her friends, for a night out with her friends. But anyway, she headed to Waikiki, and she was last seen by a taxi driver that night around midnight, where he took her from the Blue Water Cafe to the Shorebird Hotel where she went to go get her car, but she never made it to meet up with her friends. So there's kind of a gap in a timeline there, if you will, that I can't
between
find.
9 a.m. and midnight?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I can't really find any answers to.
Okay.
I looked and I looked. I saw more reported on that she went out with her friends and left her house later in the day, mm-hmm. but that her husband had last seen her around 9 a.m. But then I also saw that her husband, that she left the house at 9 p.m. because she was going to go out clubbing, and that her husband was expecting her home around 9 p.m. So I don't also know how that works. But she never made it to meet. Yeah, right. So she never made it to meet up with her friends. So her husband said that she was planning on being home around 9 p.m., which again, there's that time warp difference in storylines. But when she didn't return home, he tried her pager. He couldn't get a hold of her, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then he went searching for her, and he found her car in the parking lot of this place, right?
Of the hotel. Okay.
Which obviously then confirmed the taxi driver's story that, you know, he saw her. He took her from point A to point B.
Mm-hmm.
Her car was there, duh. But he found a fresh dent. She hadn't been there before, which was obviously recent. She hadn't been there before. He saw her in the morning. And then her husband then what?
Obviously it's fresh because it wasn't there and now it is.
So her husband then filed a police report, and the Honolulu Police Department got a call the next morning reporting a body in the Kihei Lagoon. I think that's how you would say it. Kihei?
Yeah.
Kihei Lagoon, that was determined to be Vicky, and she still had the clothes on that she wore the last night that she had been seen alive, which was her yellow jumpsuit, but her underwear were missing. And she had injuries that were consistent with rape and strangulation.
Aww.
And her hands were tied behind her back with a parachute cord.
Huh.
So the Kihei Lagoon is a spot for like paddlers, paddleboarding, kayakers, you know, you name it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a water sport kind of still water place.
Mm-hmm. I feel like parachute cord is very...
Back to our disturbing fact.
No, besides that, I feel like it's very...
It's niche.
Yes, that's the word I was going to say. Like, not everybody has a parachute cord.
Yeah.
Like, if you were to tie someone up, you would use, like, rope, duct tape, maybe an electrical cord or something like that.
A household thing that most people have.
Right, because I don't have any parachute cord around here.
I don't either.
Right?
No, definitely. Not us.
No. Anyway, sorry, I didn't mean to go off on that, but I just thought, well, that's real interesting.
No, that's perfect because it is. It is
real interesting.
It is real interesting because it's all going to circle back around at some point.
Ooh, I like it.
So according to the Honolulu Star Bulletin, her husband later said that his wife had been streetwise and she knew who not to trust. He suggested that it probably would have taken two people to kidnap her because she was a strong woman. And he said that on one occasion, she knocked him the fuck out.
Nice.
Which is kind of funny.
It is kind of funny. Yeah, but not that I'm for domestic violence, but.
Yeah, just that she was strong.
She could take care of herself.
Yeah, that she could take care of herself. Strong woman.
Yeah.
So her husband had a theory, though, that this possibly could have been related to her workplace. Because the year before, two women were stabbed to death.
Ooh.
that were from her work, her co-workers.
Oh.
Yeah. So kind of weird, kind of random.
Yeah.
Which I don't know much about that.
Okay.
So we're not going to talk about that.
Okay.
But just a theory
right.
that her husband had. So there were no leads on the case until 1986, which is a two-year gap. It's a two-year jump
mm-hmm.
when victim number two was found. And again, I just want to say, I feel like we haven't done a true crime case in a minute.
Mm-mm.
That we like to call people by their first names, the victims.
Right.
Because it gives them their power back.
Yes.
So there's my little two cents.
Right. You don't think the St. Valentine's Day Massacre was true crime?
Oh, it feels like 100 years ago.
That is true.
It was last month.
Yeah.
It was a long time ago. Lots happened since then.
It has.
Life just keeps on moving.
Yeah. Yeah, it does.
Never stops.
No, there's never a day.
But, yeah, I don't know. I called the victims by their first names in that case.
Yeah, you did. I like it, though.
I just didn't give the little speech that I like to give. That giving them their power back. We're calling them by their first names.
Yeah, we like it.
Yes, we do.
It gives them a personality.
Yes.
Yeah.
Gives them their identity back.
Yes. exactly.
So our next victim was Regina Sakamoto. She was 17 years old when she went missing, and she was from Kansas originally. She called her boyfriend at 7:15 a.m. to let him know that she would be late to school that day, and she went to Lila Hua High School. And according to serialdispatches.com, she took local transit because she had missed the bus, her school bus, that morning.
Mm-hmm.
And so she was last seen waiting at the bus stop in Waipahu. Okay, we just paused to look up how to say that. It's Waipahu.
Yes.
So
you were not too far off.
It was not too far off.
No.
So obviously, I'm sure you're thinking this, she was kidnapped on her way to school after missing her bus.
Aww.
That's the theory that's happening here. So no one was really worried or concerned about it until she didn't get home from school in the evening, when then her family called the police to report her missing. And a day later, her body was found in the Kihei Lagoon, less than a mile from where Vicky Purdy's body was found on January 14th, 1986.
Oh.
I know. It's so sad. She was wearing her blue tank top and white sweatshirt, but her bottom half had no clothes on.
Oh, gosh, that's so heartbreaking. I mean, dying is heartbreaking enough. Being killed is heartbreaking enough.
Right, but to know that it's like
a evil. Violent and like...
I mean, it's all evil, but...
Well, your last moments are trying not to get raped. I'm, you know, fighting for your...
Fighting for your life?
Yeah, fighting for your life, but
in
also...
In survival mode?
Yeah, you're in survival mode. So...
I know, I can't imagine that that's the last face you'd ever see.
No.
Is a shithead's face.
No. Sucks. Happens way too often, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, it does.
Obviously,
otherwise,
here we are.
I would say, otherwise we wouldn't be here. So, just like Vicky, her hands were tied behind her back with a parachute cord. She had been raped and strangled, but there were two new things in this case: that she was nude from the waist down, Vicky was not,
mm-hmm.
and that one of her feet was tied to a rock with an electrical cord.
Mm-hmm.
So, those are new things, you know.
But parachute cord again.
Yeah, the parachute cord's back. So after the police found this scene 2 years later, they were like, looks like it's the same person, right?
Right.
As you would think with the parachute cord, right? That's kind of like the tie-in and
that's very
the location.
Distinct. Yeah, the location and a very distinct manner of being bound.
So she was planning on attending Hawaii Pacific University in the fall of 1986 when she graduated from high school. And then her brother recently, he came out in 2016 and had this to say. His name was Omar Sakamoto, is Omar Sakamoto. He recalled about his sister that she was very bookish, smart, fun-loving, everybody's friend, and that kind of a thing. He also recalled that on the day of the disappearance, she was late for school that day, and she was sitting at the bus stop in front of Diners in Waipahu. So sad.
So sad.
And her stepfather, he was kind of blunt and offensive when he talked to journalists. And he said that he thought that she was putting herself on the line by living down there with Caucasian features, that Hawaiians hate Caucasian people, that the native people there hate them. And so that basically, you know, she was just a transient and she stood out, and that it was
almost
victim blaming.
What do they call them, Howleys?
I don't know.
I'm pretty sure they do.
That he was just almost, you know, victim blaming.
Yeah,
which is fucked up.
It is fucked up.
Her own stepdad. So an autopsy later revealed that she had been raped. Obviously, we knew that, like I said.
Yeah.
But that she had high levels of acid phosphatase, which were found in her vagina, which meant that basically what that means is that if you find that whoever raped you or whoever you had sexual intercourse with has had a vasectomy.
Huh, that's weird.
Which is a huge thing, right? Like, that's a huge point of contention in this case.
Right.
That's a huge lead for the investigators on the case.
Okay.
So our next victim was Denise Hughes. She was 21 years old, and she lived in Pearl City with her husband, Charles, and he was stationed at Pearl Harbor. And she usually took the bus to work every day, where she worked as a phone secretary, and she was a very active member of her church.
Aww.
And on January 30th, 1986, she was reported to be at the bus stop earlier than her usual time, but then she was later reported missing.
So this is quick. This is a month. Yeah. In the same month. This is 2 weeks.
Yeah.
The 14th to the 30th.
But then he went on like a 2-year hiatus.
In the beginning.
Yes. So she was found on February 1st by 3 teenage fishermen. Ugh. I saw 2 things. It was like, or 3 things. It was 3 teenagers, fishermen, 3 teenage fishermen. So I'm going to go with that. 3 teenage fishermen.
Okay. Sounds good. Sounds really sad. I can't imagine finding a dead body anyway.
Oh my God, I can't either.
Let alone being a teenager and finding a dead body.
Yeah. I mean, at any point in your life, I feel like that'd scar you forever.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's a pretty pivotal point in your life to be traumatized.
I would say so.
Any point in your life is a pivotal moment to be traumatized, but that's that's a young age.
Yeah, that sucks.
So she was found in Moana Luau stream 2 weeks after Regina's body was found. And this is a drainage canal ditch, again, in the same area, kind of. I believe the way it's set up is that the drainage ditch flows into the Kihei Lagoon.
Okay.
So not far off from where the other two were found. Oh. The first ones were found a mile apart from each other, and then she was found in the drainage canal nearby.
Okay.
So she was wearing a blue dress, but she had been wrapped in blue tarp, and her hands were again bound. I think parachute cord again.
Wow.
And her body was identified through dental records on the mainland because she was already at this point decomposing, you know, the heat in Hawaii, the water.
And she's wrapped in a tarp, and which is definitely going to accelerate decomposition.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get it. We are so much alike.
Yeah, we are.
So, she, like I said, her body had to be identified through dental records, but they couldn't confirm if she had been raped, but obviously, like, we're on a trend that she probably was.
Mm-hmm.
So this prompted a task force to be formed to, you know, go on a hunt for this killer. Like, who is this guy?
Right. Especially if he's accelerating, speeding up.
Yeah, right. If he's increasing his victim count.
But don't you think that they don't really stop for 2 years?
Probably.
You know?
Yeah.
Maybe he just didn't use parachute cord and, like, maybe he just did other...
He switched his MO.
Yeah, but then he was like, maybe he just wanted the recognition or, like, the, you know?
Yeah. You know, to be like, I'm the Honolulu Strangler.
Right.
To have the name tied to him.
Yeah, like, look at me.
Yeah.
But you can't catch me.
Right.
Which is super scary.
Yep.
Yeah.
So her work supervisor, Donna Peterka, had this to say about her, that she always had a smile on her face no matter what. The day before it happened, everyone had the flu. She was working the reception desk, and I said, I can't believe you're always smiling. The next day, that was it. She was just the ideal employee.
Aww.
I know.
Yeah. So I love sad. Those people that are always smiling.
I know.
I wish I was one of them, but I'm not.
You know, I heard this thing that if you smile at people, you're more likely to be a victim.
Well, maybe I'm glad that I come off like a bitch.
I know. That's kind of what I was thinking, because I was talking to one of my friends and she was saying that, like, I smile too much and, like, that she just keeps a straight face because she found out about that. Mm. She's like, and then people think I'm a bitch, and she's not a bitch at all. She's right. Very nice.
Yeah, I'm not a bitch, and I'm nice, and I
like how you're trying to convince yourself of that.
No, I'm just thinking because I feel like I'm very... Because I'm not, like, super outgoing and friendly, and, like, I don't know. So I feel like people either think that I'm, like, stuck up or that I'm just a bitch. But I'm just not, like, I'm not like you. Like, you're always talking to people and smiling, and I don't do that.
I need to stop doing that.
Apparently you do.
Apparently.
Yeah.
Because... It sucks that this is what happens to those kinds of people.
Yeah.
Although I'm sure there's been some really straight-faced mean girls who have been...
I'm sure there...
Yeah.
And I'm not a mean girl.
No, I'm not saying you're a mean... A mean appearance.
Right.
A mean judging a book by its cover.
Yeah. It's the Capricorn.
Yeah.
Help it.
I'm a Sag.
I know.
I also have a resting bitch face. But for whatever reason, I'm still happy-go-lucky. Yes, you
are. I'm happy-go-lucky, too, just maybe not so outwardly.
You're inwardly happy-go-lucky.
Not so no one would ever know that I'm happy-go-lucky.
Right. Nobody knows. So our next victim was Luis Medeiros. Sure. She was 24 years old. Oh, I'm going to butcher this again. She lived in Waipahau. Waipahoo?
Where? What?
That word I had to learn how to say before.
Oh, Wapua.
Wapua. And she lived in Wapua.
Sihuanaba.
So, don't worry, you're all going to get a bloopers reel. So, she had lived an eventful life. She left her family when she was a teenager. She'd been in trouble with the law, and then she lived with beach people. She had several children. I don't know how many. This is what it said, that she had had kids already. But, however, by the time she returned home, she had found her focus and moved on from being, like, rebellious. And then her oldest sister had this to say about her, that she was finally happy and that she had found peace within herself.
Mm-hmm.
So she had been on a family trip visiting Kauai. And unfortunately, the circumstances of her going to Kauai for a family, did I call it a vacation or a trip? Because it wasn't really a vacation. It was more like a visit. Was that her mom had passed away and it was the reading of her will.
Uh-huh.
So she was on her way back to Honolulu. And she had planned on catching a bus from the airport to, again, conflicting reports, either her apartment or her boyfriend's apartment. So one or the other.
Okay.
She was going to a home base of some nature. And she had told her family of this, like, don't worry about it. I got it. I'll just take the bus.
Okay.
Like, I don't need a ride. I don't need a taxi. I'll just take the bus. So she was last seen waiting at the bus stop on March 26, 1986. And she was at the Honolulu International Airport. And then road workers later found Luis's body on April 2nd.
Louise. Keep saying Louise.
Louise's.
Not trying to correct you. Just if we want to call the victims by their name, we should say their name, right?
I want to do that. I put my best into the research. You can't expect I'm going to pronounce everything correctly.
That's fair. That's why I'm just correcting you and telling you.
They found her body on April 2nd under a freeway overpass near the Waikili stream, and she had sustained the same injuries, of course, as the previous victims, but they couldn't prove that she was sexually assaulted in this case.
So another one where they don't know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's a pretty, she's got what? There's 31 days in March or 30? 30. I think there's 30. 30 days in March. So she has 26th, 27th, 28th, 29th, 30. 1, 2. So there's 7 days where she was out there,
mm-hmm.
and obviously humid. She's in a stream or near a stream,
mm-hmm.
and it's hot as fuck in Hawaii.
Humid.
That's what I said. It's going to accelerate the process of decomposition. So she was found wearing her blouse, but her lower half was unclothed, of course. And she was 3 months pregnant. And she was found 7 weeks after Denise's body was found.
So sad.
It is. It's horrible. This guy's a piece of shit.
Yeah.
If it's a guy, we don't know.
Well, if they're being sexually assaulted and there's...
Yeah, but I mean, it could be multiple people.
Yeah, there is that.
Yes.
So whoever's... So.
Yes.
Yeah. Take the power, take the dignity, and kill.
Fucking assholes.
Yeah. Pieces of shit.
Yeah. Dick munchers. Not to insult the good dick munchers out there, but these guys are dick munchers.
In the bad kind.
In the bad kind of way. The worst kind of way. Dick munchers. So at this point, Major Luis,
mm-hmm.
I say that right?
Yes.
I don't know. I want to say Luis. Major Luis Sousa, who was the head of the task force. At this point, she began warning women, be on high alert, avoid public transit, avoid bus stops, avoid parking lots.
Wow. So basically, don't leave your house.
Basically.
Because we don't know who this fucker is.
Yeah, so they were on high alert. And then they also set up a sting operation where female police officers were set up in the areas around the airport in the Kihei Lagoon. But this didn't turn anything up.
Right. They were probably like trying to be bait or something.
Yeah. I would assume.
Right.
Which is sad.
Yeah.
So then we have Linda Pesci. Pesci? Pesci? Pesce?
I don't know. Because that's a last name. So, you know.
We have Linda. Yes. That's the most important part. Linda.
Mm-hmm.
She was 36 when she went missing. And she was described as street smart and tough and, you know, could hold her own. Same as some of the other victims being just described as independent and tough as nails. So she moved to Hawaii with her husband and her daughter. However, she and her husband separated, so she had moved in with a friend. And on April 29th, 1986, she was expecting to be home late due to a meeting at work.
Mm-hmm.
So this was, you know, a pre-planned thing. She was going to be out late.
Right.
But she didn't make it to work the following day.
Oh.
And then her roommate.
And this is so soon again, too.
Yeah. This guy's turning and burning.
Yeah, no kidding.
If he did take that two-year hiatus, then he's moving quickly at this point.
Right. He's making up for lost time.
Right, apparently.
Ooh, maybe he was somebody who was in jail for those 2 years. For, like, something else.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's a theory.
I'm just throwing shit out there.
No, you're okay.
Because I feel like, again, people, serial rapists slash murderers.
Get caught for some other petty crime of some nature and go away, and then crimes pick back up when these people get released.
Yeah, I also feel like they don't just stop for 2 years and then start again.
Yeah, no.
Especially at this rate.
Or if there was an initial killer who killed Vicky and then a copycat came along later.
Right.
There could also be that.
Who's a
even worse dick muncher?
Yeah, I was going to say who's overly or ambitious serial killer.
Not even worse, equally as bad, but yeah. A motherfucker as well.
Right. Exactly.
So her roommate, she caught wind that Linda's car was unlocked on the side of the highway. It was the Nimitz Highway. She had a light blue Toyota. Immediately, she informed the police when she found out about this. And then the police did find her car there, which they theorized that she had car trouble. And then she walked to the bus stop.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Damn it.
I know. Fucking sucks.
Yeah. So, just living your life and then some stupid fucking piece of shit comes in your path.
I know. That's like one of my biggest fears in this world. Is any kind of piece of shit coming in my path.
Right.
I mean, I've had like piece of shit friends, but nobody that's ever like harmed me.
Right.
Or
mentally.
Or threatened my safety.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's somebody who I'm like afraid of is somebody who would threaten my safety.
Well, it's so very prevalent.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Right. I mean, that's why we're here today. It's because it's interesting and interesting as fuck why people do what they do, but it's really sad.
Well, it also hopefully gives everybody some kind of measure of be aware.
Oh, yeah. Awareness is 110%.
Yeah. Be aware of your surroundings.
Don't smile at every stranger you pass, especially right. If they look like a weirdo.
It just sucks, though, that all these people are like street smart and like tough and stuff. But to your point where you just said they look like a weirdo, we'll look at Ted Bundy.
He was
charming and attractive. And like BTK was just a regular normal dude who was like, had a family.
Churchgoer.
Yeah, a churchgoer, had a family, like Gary Ridgway, like all these people. Anyway, so off the rails. But yeah, just it makes, I don't know, makes you want to be more self-aware.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Self-awareness, 110%.
Also makes you not want to leave the house.
Fuck. Story of my life. I never want to leave the house. I have a nice house. I have food in my fridge. I have entertainment for days with those two little puppies.
Yeah. We're very, very lucky.
Yeah, we're very fortunate.
We work hard for our fortune, but we are very fortunate.
All right, let's steer it back in.
Okay, sorry.
So investigators learned that on the night of April 29th, witnesses had seen a car with its emergency lights flashing and another vehicle pass behind the car and then beside it. And then perhaps they were like trying to show some kind of assistance to her,
mm-hmm.
is what witnesses said may have been going on. But, you know, nobody questioned it. She has her hazards on, like maybe a kind person's coming to help.
Right.
Oh, been there, done that in that situation. Sorry, side tangent. I found a dog on the side of the road. Not even the side of the road. It was the center of the highway in the middle of the night. I pulled over because I saw these eyes flashing at me and I was like, something is not sitting right with me. I got out of my car. I walked back about 200 feet probably. There was a dog and I called him to me and I was like, come here. I got him across the road. There were no cars. It was the middle of the night, like I said, not a busy highway either. And then I had my flashers on because I'm like trying to call these people's numbers and like, what do I do? You know, trying to figure out my shit while I'm sitting in the back of my car with this dog and my flashers on and my lights on. I had my pepper spray in my hand though. But then this car pulled up behind me But it was just a very kind pedestrian to make sure I was okay.
Not pedestrian.
Fuck, I always say that. They were not on foot.
Because they were in a car.
Not a pedestrian. A very kind person. A very kind passerby to make sure I was okay. And then they ended up actually taking the dog and helping me figure out that situation since I was pet sitting. But then the owners came to get the dog like 2 hours later. It was like 3 o'clock in the morning. Kind of sketchy.
Yeah.
Poor dog. Happy he made it home, though. Moral of the story, I had my pepper spray. Dog made it home, okay? Because the dog's life was more important than mine.
Right. And it's a PSA.
Yes.
That you were on the side of the road with your hazards on in the middle of the night. And someone walked up to the
side of the highway. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just like she was. Just like Linda was.
Mm-hmm.
So, man, you made me lose my place.
That was my fault.
On April 30th, her roommate reported her missing. And then 4 days after her disappearance, a man, he walked into the police station. And he claimed that a psychic had told him where they could find Linda's body.
Hmm. That's suspicious.
Yeah, you think?
Yeah.
So on May 3rd, this man took the police to Sand Island, but he was like very much so like avoiding one area of Sand Island.
Okay, so sorry, because like, why does a random psychic go to a random person and say, hey, you know that chick that's missing?
I know where she is.
I'm going to tell you.
And even you though, need to go share this information. Yeah.
Right? Even though.
Very suspicious.
I have no, you have no ties to this person. And randomly, my psychic abilities just told me to, do they have pictures and fingerprints? Obviously not. Because this is your dude right here.
So, again, he took them to Sand Island. Where he claimed that she was going to be. Mm-hmm. He was very obviously avoiding one certain area because they weren't finding anything. So then police were like, huh, maybe we should go over here.
And he's like, no, don't go over there.
Right? Don't go over there. You won't find it. I already looked.
Right? I would look over there.
I already did all of our due diligence. I've looked over there. We're good. So they went to that area. What did they find? Linda's body. On a dirt road where she, again, had the same injuries as the other victims and was completely nude with her hands behind her back. And just like Regina, they also found acid phosphatase. Yeah, I said it so great before and you then did. it just lost me.
It happens.
Around her genitals, and she had been partially covered by dirt and debris, but she also had a cement block on her back.
Oh.
Yeah. This man's a fucker.
Yeah, he's a fucker.
Yeah.
And fucking she's totally sucks. Naked.
Yeah.
I mean, it's bad enough to be dead, but...
To be humiliated, your body.
Yeah, it's horrible.
Yeah, it's fucked up. So our task force, the police department, put together a 27-person serial killer unit on February 5th of 1986. And this came with help from the FBI. And then the Green River Killers Task Force. Mm. Shout out to Gary Ridgway, who you were just talking about.
Why weren't they suspicious of the guy with the psychic?
We're going to get there.
Okay.
So good. The killer's profile was that this was an opportunistic killer who attacked women who were vulnerable, such as at bus stops, parking lots.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't.
Outside of their homes.
Yeah. No. Not outside of their homes.
No, I mean, they've left their houses.
Oh, yeah. I thought you meant like...
No, I don't mean like on their front porch.
No, I mean, I was getting to the fact that he's not a stalker.
I'm just saying they fucking opportunistic. They left their house and fucking had their car parked in a parking lot. Oh, my God.
Right.
Or were at the bus stops.
God forbid they make it to work or school.
Right. Because they were gainfully employed or responsibly going to school. Stupid fucker.
Yeah.
Sorry. Makes me mad.
Yeah, he's a stupid prick.
Yeah.
That's for damn sure.
Or she.
So they theorize that he also likely worked in the area of Waipahu. I did say it right. Or Sand Island. He lived in one of the two places.
Okay.
And that he also.
Sand Island.
So then he also drove a cargo van. Was it? Again, another theory about this.
A white creeper van with no windows.
And they said that he would be Caucasian or mixed race in between.
Well, what the fuck does that?
30 or 40 and have no criminal record. So he probably wasn't in jail.
Yeah, this so, is they, the profile. So they think the profile. But so, what is that, Caucasian or mixed race? That's very broad.
Yeah.
Sorry.
White mixed with white, like.
But just throwing it out there.
So police set up roadblocks at the time of Linda's murder, and they were questioning frequent commuters. And witnesses came forward saying that they had seen a light color van and a Caucasian or mixed race man with Linda's car.
Okay, so that's why they have the theory.
Yes.
Because of witnesses who are always unreliable.
No, I think it was the theory and then the witnesses.
Okay.
Because they put together the task force a little bit earlier. Mm-hmm. Like I said, on February 5th, they put together this.
Right.
This victim profile. And then this was after Linda's attack.
Okay.
So after her murder.
Which is two months later, February, April?
Yeah, her body was found in May.
Oh, May. Okay.
Her attack happened at the end of April, then she was found in May.
Okay.
Yeah, so 2 months later, 3 months later.
Mm-hmm.
So now let's talk about our one and only suspect, Mr. Howard Gay. He was originally from Buffalo, New York. And he had been stationed at the stationed at George Air Force Base in California. He was honorably discharged in 1965, and then he worked a lot of jobs, like as a telephone lineman and a delivery driver, before working as a mechanic at an air freight carrier on Lagoon Drive, where he drove a cream-colored van.
Ooh.
He was at one time married, and he had two children. And then he was divorced in 1983. So he lived in Ewa Beach and he worked as a mechanic, like I said, and he worked along Lagoon Drive on that road. He was the one who randomly had just had a psychic come up to him.
Oh, yeah. Oh, good. Well, I'm
glad that's our guy.
I'm glad they at least considered
him a suspect. I thought I would just keep you wondering for a little bit.
Okay. It's frustrating me.
So,
because I'm like, what the fuck? That's your guy.
He fit the killer's profile in terms of age, having had a vasectomy, not having a criminal record, working at the airport with air freight, which he had likely access to a parachute cord in those terms. So after he went and was like, don't look over there. I just talked to a psychic. She must not be here. He was arrested.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Thank God.
Except for. Because you said it's still unsolved, so.
So, this was on May 9th, 1986, that he was arrested and then questioned, where he denied everything, didn't know anything, kept his head down, of course, you know. I didn't do it, it wasn't me.
Right?
It wasn't me, I don't know anything, I've never even heard of these people before. Yeah, that's that guy.
Okay.
I can
great
do that.
Impression.
Because he's a fucker.
Yes, great impression.
So between 8 p.m. and 3 p.m. of this questioning period, he was interrogated. He failed a polygraph test, but then he was eventually released.
Well, probably because they didn't have any actual evidence to hold him on.
Yep.
And failing a polygraph test doesn't mean shit.
So according to the Penn State University website, his girlfriend told investigators that some nights when they fought, he would leave the house. And these were the same nights that the murders occurred. And he also loved to partake in bondage.
Hmm.
You know, everybody's hands were bound.
Mm-hmm. And he's mad at his girlfriend.
And these were the same nights that everything occurred.
Right. So he's like angry, goes out and takes it out on somebody else.
Right. He's a fucker.
He's the fucker.
Police followed the suspect. And then there was a $25,000 reward that was put up for information. And then 2 months after his arrest, this woman came forward that said that she saw Linda with Gay the night that she was killed. And then she picked him out of a lineup. So that's pretty impressive.
Yeah, except for, again, you know, they say eyewitnesses' testimony is almost never right. Like, because you get something in your brain.
Maybe, because I don't know if she would have. I don't think that they released that he was, like, arrested.
Okay.
So it was just her memory.
Okay. Well, maybe she is good at it.
However, she refused to be a witness in court due to her own fear and worries and being like, maybe he saw me too.
Right.
I don't want him to come after me.
Yeah.
So her identity is completely anonymous.
It sucks, though, that she couldn't be a witness in court and then they keep her identity anonymous. But I guess his lawyer, if it came to that, would want her to be not anonymous. Sorry.
Right.
The words.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
So there was never enough evidence to convict him of the murders. And he died in 2003. And no one was ever charged with the murders of these five women. They don't know who did it.
That sucks.
They think it's him.
Did, really, did it stop after that?
It stopped after
that. 1986.
Stopped after 1986. Oh, interesting fact. I don't even think I mentioned this. This was Hawaii's first serial killer.
Hmm.
Known.
Yeah.
Known that the victims were tied together.
Right. Well, that's... Oh, I don't like it. Except for unless it's him and he's dead, then I'm fine with it.
I did read this, which I don't know if it was like worth it to include or not, but I guess I'm just going to put it in here anyway. It was funny. The source, it said that after he was released, he went back home to California. That was like his original. It was his home. California was his later home base.
Okay.
He went back to California for his son's graduation. And then while he was there, after this was after he was released from being arrested,
mm-hmm.
his son died in a car accident. And many people thought it was like retribution.
That's sad.
Isn't that really sad?
That's so like, fucked up.
He should have been the one.
Yeah, that's not, I don't like that.
I guess I shouldn't have said it's like funny, but like, I just thought it was like.
Coincidental, odd.
Yeah, that people would like put go that there. Together. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't, yeah. Not funny, haha, but. Funny curious.
Funny curious, yes.
Yeah.
Not like, oh my God, I'm going to die laughing about this. Because that's really sad. Like his son.
That does suck.
His son's probably innocent.
But I'm just going to put that out there that I don't think that that's true. I'm sure it was just an accident.
Yeah, I'm sure it was
why
just
would you?
No. That it was just like, it was just like karma.
Oh, okay. Because you said retribution.
Karmic retribution.
Okay. Yeah, no. I don't think karma works that way.
That he took five people and so. The karma's going to take somebody he loves.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Yeah.
I think karma takes you.
Probably.
Yeah.
Which it took him in 2003 from cancer, I believe was what I read.
Hopefully it was a painful kind.
Yeah.
If he was the...
If it was him.
Yeah.
I feel like it was him.
I feel like that... Yeah.
And I feel like we're not going to get sued for saying it. He's dead.
Right? I just think, like, right away when you said that the psychic, that he said... That a psychic told him to go and blah, blah, blah. Like, yeah, that's, yeah.
Fucked.
Yeah. Because that's just random. Who does that?
Pieces of shit.
Right.
That want to be like, I know where you can find a body. It wasn't me, though.
Right. Well, on some level, then does he want to get caught, but just not convicted?
Probably.
Yeah.
Although, I'm just confused. Like, it never said anything about if there was ever any DNA.
No dinner.
Because I guess he had a vasectomy, so there wouldn't be sperm DNA.
No, but there should still be, like, seminal fluid DNA.
Fluids.
There's fluid in, I mean, there's DNA in everything.
Yeah, right.
But
he touched any of the parachute cords?
Again, Hawaii, humid, hot.
Right.
Maybe there is no DNA to test.
Perhaps.
And this is the time when DNA is just starting to be a thing.
They used to collect it still.
They did.
In hopes of.
Well, collecting samples. They didn't know what they were collecting it for.
Yeah.
Because they didn't know it was going to be DNA. But they collected stuff.
They knew what DNA was back then.
No, I'm in the 80s they did. But like, never mind.
They didn't know there was going to be technology to find things out. Like genealogical DNA testing.
Yeah, like now it's so crazy how like.
They caught the Golden State Killer.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Or even like the Idaho 4, how they've caught that guy. Although we still don't know if it's him or not.
Yeah.
But.
Well, no.
He's innocent until proven guilty. But it was through his dad's like trash. That they found, like, his DNA and could tie him back to it, I think.
Well, there's, like, so many killers and stuff that have recently been, you know, arrested or connected to crimes because of their DNA and because of the familial DNA thing.
Yeah.
Like, somebody puts their DNA into...
Genealogical.
Yeah, into Ancestry.com or 23andMe or whatever, those public databases. And then the crime labs can put the DNA against those, and then they can narrow it down to like the time frame, the age. Like, it's crazy, like they did with the Golden State Killer, because the Golden State Killer's DNA wasn't in the database, but family members were in there, and they were able to be like, oh, hey, this is his family and he fits all these things. Anyway, that's totally tangent, but
no, that's okay. I was just thinking, I wouldn't want to put my DNA in a database like that, because I'd be afraid that my real family would come and find me, because I know I switched at birth.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I don't like anything like you people.
Ouch. Ouch.
I didn't say you stole me. I said I was switched at birth.
No.
Also, can't wait to see those updates about the girl who thought she was Madeline McCann.
Ugh.
And if that's happening or not.
Yeah.
If that's... she really was an abducted child.
Yeah. Or she thinks she's
somebody else. I'm just thinking about more DNA.
Yeah. Okay. Well, maybe we should stop.
Just thinking about dinner.
Thinking about dinner.
Speaking of which, I'm going to go eat some.
Right. Thank you guys for listening. Daphne, thank you for doing that. Because I hate an unsolved case.
I do too. But like I said, the creative juices were flowing when I was out there.
Right. And I feel like it maybe isn't an unsolved case. It's just an unprosecuted, unproven case.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like a lot of signs point to yes.
All signs point to
him.
Yeah.
To Howard Gay.
Yeah, exactly.
The man of the hour.
Mm-hmm.
The fucked up piece of shit. The dick munch.
The dick muncher.
Dick muncher, yes.
Yeah.
All right. Well, next time I won't do an unsolved one.
Thank you.
I've done two unsolved ones back to back.
Yeah.
Although... it's alleged in the last case. All right, well, take care. Keep listening. Have a good night.
Bye-bye.